Again, I just want to welcome everyone this morning and those that are here with family. It's just so good to have you with us today. This morning, I really wouldn't call this a sermon. I really wouldn't call it a message. Just a few scriptures that has been on my heart this week. Just thinking about last week's service and a lot of people just carrying things on their heart, questions that they have with the Lord. And some of these truths you've heard me speak before, but they're on my heart again. And so I just want to bring them again to our hearts. Just really believing this is the Lord's leading for our service this morning. I want to begin with Matthew chapter 16. Would you go with me, Matthew chapter 16, please? Let me go ahead and pray before we look at these scriptures. Lord, I do ask, Father, that you would just come and, Lord, just touch my body today, Lord. Lord, I know both me and Caitlin were just come into this service really feeling under the weather. Lord, we lean upon your strength, and I just pray that you would just touch my body now, touch my throat, God. And Lord, these truths that we're going to look at in the Word, Lord, would you just speak something into the needs of our heart today, God? Lord, these are the truths that's been stirring in my mind, stirring in my heart. And Lord, would you just give us ears to hear them? And Lord, just help us today, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me at verse 5. It says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" So in our story, Jesus is attempting to speak something into the heart of the disciples. There's something weighing upon the heart of Jesus, and he really wants to convey it into the heart of his disciples, but they were not able to hear the things that he was speaking. And so the question becomes, why were they not able to hear it? Well, look with me at verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have taken no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of 4,000, and how many baskets you took up?" So, when you read these verses, what Jesus is simply saying to them is this: I'm trying to speak something deep into your heart, but you can't hear it. And the reason why you can't hear it is because you're still worried about things God is obviously going to take care of. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm trying to speak something of a deep spiritual truth, something of truth that you really need to understand, but you're not able to hear it because you're still in a place where you're worrying about the things God is obviously going to take care of. That's what he's saying to the disciples. He's saying, didn't I already show you when it comes to your needs, I will provide even if I have to do it supernaturally. Yet right now, the reason you can't hear me speak a deep truth into your heart is because you're still worried about things that I'm going to take care of. And when you really listen to Jesus' heart, this is what he's saying. He's simply saying, until we move past this place of worrying about things I'm obviously going to take care of, there are just deep spiritual truths that you're not able to hear with your heart. And I really say that in love. I say that in love, but I feel from the Lord to say that this morning. If we're in a place where we are always worrying about things that God is obviously going to take care of, there are so many things that He wants to speak to our heart that we're not going to be able to hear, because we're still worried about these type of things. You know, really thinking about what Jesus is saying here, I had to ask this question. How many things is God speaking to our hearts, but we are not able to hear them because we are consumed with worrying about things that God is obviously going to take care of? You know, I'm putting myself in the disciples' place right now. How many deep things is the Lord trying to speak to my heart and convey to my heart, but yet I'm just not able to hear them because I'm still worrying about things that He's obviously going to take care of in my life? And that's what Jesus is saying here. Amen. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Wonderful passage, very familiar passage. Look with me at verse 25. The Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O of little faith? Therefore, I say, take no thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." So here is Jesus, and he's telling the disciples that there are things that God is obviously going to take care of. He's saying when it comes to your basic needs in life, those things that you need to exist and function in life, God is going to be careful to take care of these things. And I want you to look at verse 32 again. Just look at the first part. He says, "For all these things do the Gentiles seek after." Now, in Jesus' usage of the word Gentiles, he's referring to those outside of God's covenant. And what he's saying is this: worrying about the necessities of life is the testimony of those outside of God's covenant. It's the testimony of those that are outside the house of God. But you have a heavenly Father. You have a God who is your Father, and He's going to be faithful to take care of your needs. So your testimony shouldn't be worry and anxiousness when it comes to the things that God is going to be faithful to take care of. He's saying that's your testimony, but that shouldn't be your testimony. You shouldn't be worried. You shouldn't be consumed with worry, shouldn't be consumed with anxiousness about the things that God is obviously going to take care of. He's the one that created you. He knows your being. He knows your existence. He knows the things that you need to keep you functioning in life. And He's going to be so faithful to take care of these things. You have a heavenly Father, so your testimony shouldn't be over here. Should be with those in the household of God. I live in the household of God. And as a faithful father, I mean, what faithful father does not provide for the needs of their kids? Amen. We're just staying with the basics today, but I really feel like this is where the Lord needs to meet some of us this morning. Amen. Including myself. Now look with me at verse 33. Here's really where I'm going. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Beloved, in this one verse, do you know what Jesus just did? He just set us free to seek Him. He just set us free to seek Him. What He said is this. There are so many things that God is going to take care of, so you don't have to worry about it. You are free to seek Me. That's what He's saying here. He said, God is going to take care of all your needs. You don't have to worry about these things. So seek Me in freedom. Seek Me without worrying about the things that God is obviously in control of. And that's what I love about this one verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things that you need will be added unto you. What He's saying is, I am setting you free to seek Me. You don't have to carry these worries. You don't have to carry these concerns. You don't have to carry the anxiousness of it all. God knows what you need. He's going to provide it. So don't worry about it. Seek Me in freedom. Amen. He's saying your devotional life you have with Me, you don't have to consume your devotional life on, God, I need this, God, I need that, God, I need this, God, I need that. You know, that consumes so much of our prayer life. And the Lord says, I'm not saying don't bring your needs to the Lord. I'm just saying the Lord says, you don't have to be consumed by these things. You can seek Me. Without worrying about these things, you are free to seek Me. And I really love that verse. We are free to seek the Lord from these things. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1. Look with me at verse 6. Jesus, the risen Christ, is with His disciples. And He's giving them a commission. And in verse 6 they say, when they therefore was come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And I believe the kingdom they're talking about, the kingdom they're referring to, was Solomon's kingdom. You know, the golden years when Solomon was on the throne, and he brought the nation of Israel back into order, and he brought the temple back into order. He built the temple, and he put that temple in order. And the glory filled the house. And that was really the golden years of the kingdom, when the glory of God so rested upon the nation of Israel. And of course, I'm talking about before His heart went astray. So say, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom? Now look at Jesus' answer in verse 7. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into His own power. Capture what He said. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. Beloved, listen to me. If we would get that scripture in our heart, that would answer 99.9% of all of our when questions. All the questions that we have for the Lord, when. If we would get that one scripture in our heart, that would answer 99.9% of them. What the Lord is simply saying is this. What He's saying is simply this. He's saying, listen, you don't have to know when. All you have to know is it's in God's power. It's in God's control. It's in God's hand. That's all you have to know. It's in His power. It's in His control. And He's going to fulfill it in His time. Listen, it isn't outside of His power. It's in His power. It's in His sovereignty. And that's all you have to know. Listen, you know, we have so many when questions, don't we? We can be consumed with so many when questions. And let me just give you a few. God, when am I going to get married? God, when am I going to break into ministry? When are you going to plant me in the full-time ministry? Lord, when are you going to fulfill this promise? God, when are you going to fulfill this promise? God, when are you going to fulfill this promise? Lord, here's something that you put in my heart. When are you going to do this? And God is saying in the scripture, listen, would you just rest? You don't need to know when. All you need to know is it is in my control. It is in my power. It is in my hand. And you can rest with your when questions. Amen. And then He tells us what our focus should be. Look at me at verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. You're in the world for a purpose. To be filled with my Spirit and walk out my calling in your life. Put your when questions in my hands, just knowing it's in my power, and just focus on what I'm calling you to do. That's what he's saying. He's saying, again, he's saying one more time, you are free to focus in the right place. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be consumed with your when questions. They're in my power, going to be fulfilled in my time. You can rest in that. And now just focus on what I've called you to do. You're in the earth. I filled you with my Spirit for a reason. There's where your focus should be, because I'm going to take care of all these when questions. Amen. Amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Okay, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is reassuring his disciples about the Father's love and the Father's care. You know, he knows his disciples are fixing to go into a place. It's going to be a trying place. And yet he knows the faithfulness of his Father's love and his Father's care. Look with me at verse 29. Verse 29, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Now notice what Jesus did not say. He said, not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it. That's not what he said. He said, not one shall fall on the ground without your Father. In other words, what Jesus just said is this. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without the presence of the Lord. When a sparrow falls to the ground, the presence of the Lord falls with it. Even a sparrow can't fall to the ground without the presence of the Lord. And his point is simply this. Be of good courage. You are more valuable to the Father than many sparrows. Amen. And look with me at verse 30. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. In other words, what Jesus just said here, as God's child, not even the slightest detail of your life escapes his eye. He knows every detail of your life, no matter how small or how insignificant it may seem. And you know what I really appreciate about this verse? Here's what I really appreciate about this verse. This verse tells us that God's not only concerned with the big things, but he's concerned with the small things. Amen. You know, when I look at my world today, and I see all the big issues going on in the world today, all the major issues going on in the world today, you know, sometimes I can ask myself, why would God be interested in my small problems? You know, when I look at the major issues in the world today, when I look at all the war, all the terrorism, Ebola, what the AIDS epidemic is doing in Africa, when I look at all these things, and I see all these major issues taking place in the world, and then I look at my little problems, you know, I can just ask this question, you know, with all this major stuff going on in the world, why would he be interested in my little problems? But this scripture tells us this. God is just concerned with the little things that are going on in my life than all the big issues that are going on in the world. Because he's that big. He can be concerned about both. He's that big. So he's not only concerned with all the big issues, but he's concerned with all the little issues too. And so God, I can come to the Lord, and I don't have to come to the Lord, you know, thinking, God, I know you have starvation you need to worry about, and I know you have Ebola you need to worry about, and I know you, but God, can you just take time for this little problem that I have? That's not God's heart. He says, I'm bigger than that. I can deal with the big stuff, and I can focus and be concerned about your problems. Amen. When you need wisdom in dealing with your kids, I'm concerned about that too. I'm focused on that too. Amen. 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 Now I want to take this thought about God's faithfulness to take care of us down another avenue. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. So Paul says, I was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. What I want us to understand, when that word will, in the original Greek language in which the New Testament is written, it's a very strong word Paul uses. It actually means determined will. Paul called to be an apostle by the determined will of God. It also means strong-minded will of God. In other words, here's what I'm saying. God is very serious about His will for our life. And He is determined to plant us in His will and keep us in His will. Because He's very serious about it. He knows what He wants to do in our life, and He knows what He wants to do through our life, and He's determined to plant us and keep us in His will. You know, there are so many Christians right now, they just daily plagued with this question that says, am I really in the will of God? Did I miss the will of God? Am I really in the right place He desires me to be? You know, there are just so many Christians in the body of Christ today that just struggle with this question. Am I really in God's will? And this is what God is saying. God is saying, listen, you don't have to be afraid of missing my will. You don't have to live in fear of, did I miss God? No, I'm very serious about my will for your life. I'm very determined about keeping you and planting you in my will for life. So that is one worry you don't have to worry about. You don't have to even entertain that question in your mind because I'm very serious about it. And listen, if you want my will, I will be faithful to keep you in my will. There are other things you can worry about. That's not one of them you have to worry about. That's just a settled issue. If you want my will, I'll keep you in my will. But someone would say, but what if I miss the will of God? Well, I mean, I'm human. I make mistakes. But God would say to you, but am I not bigger than that? I mean, look at Abraham. He missed me a few times. He put his wife in a harem. Do you think that was my will? But I saw his heart. I knew he was a man at that time who was being led by fear, but in his heart, he really wants my will. And I was faithful to do what he could not do in his own strength, and that was put him back in my will. Amen. So I'm just here to say today, yeah, listen, if you want the will of God, that is one question you don't have to worry about. Did I miss him? Am I supposed to be somewhere else? No. God says, I'm so much bigger than that. Amen. Right. You know, I heard Brother Henry Blackaby, a man that I respect very much in the Lord, say this question. He says, when it comes to the will of God, people are asking the wrong question. They are asking, what is God's will for my life? That's the wrong question. The question is, what is God's will for my life today? If you focus on one day at a time, God will be faithful to lead you daily right down the center of His will. So the question isn't, I wonder what God's will for my life is. It's simply, what is God's will for my life today? What does He want me to do today? And I just focus on His will today. He's going to be faithful just to lead me right down the center of His will. So when He said that, you know, a question came into my mind. Do we miss the fullness of what God wants to do in our life today and through our life today because we're trying to figure out what He wants to do tomorrow? Are we not fully focused on today and what He wants to do in my life today and what He wants to do through my life today because I'm so worried about what He wants to do with my life in the future? No. God says you don't have to focus on the future. I really need your focus here today. Because I have a will for your life today. And if you just walk with me today, I'll keep you right down the center of my will. And in the future, when there's doors that need to be opened, I'm not going to let you miss those doors. You know when to walk through those doors. So ask the right question. What is God calling me to do today? Amen. Now, I want to go to one more passage of Scripture. Go with me to Genesis chapter 24. Here's the background. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham is on his deathbed, and his son Isaac doesn't have a wife. So he sends a servant all the way back to the land, back to his land where he came from, to find him a wife. And so this servant makes the long journey, very long journey. And when the servant finally reaches the city where Abraham is from, he's sitting by a well, and he's very weary from his journey. And in his weariness, he prays this prayer. He says, "Oh God, if you already have someone picked out for Isaac, would you just let her come and water my camels at the well? You know, let her come and water her camels, but then see, when she sees how weary I am, can she just say, 'Do you want me to water your camels too?' And let that be your pick for Isaac." And this is what happens. Rebecca comes to the well. She sees this weary traveler. She offers to water his camels. And in great rejoicing of heart, he's encouraged. And I want you to look at what he says. Look with me at verse 24. Genesis chapter 24. Look with me at verse 24. "And she said unto him, 'I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore unto Nahor.' She said moreover unto him, 'We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in.' And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord of my master Abraham, who not left destitute my master of his mercies and truth.' And he says, 'I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.'" Now I want you to go with me to verse 48, because now the servant is talking to Rebekah's family. And I want you to see what he says in verse 48. He says, "And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way." Capture that. He says, the Lord led me in the right way. And beloved, that word right, he said, the Lord led me in the right way. That word right in the Hebrew is the word for faithful. It's the word for faithful. It's the Hebrew word for faithful. And this is what the servant literally said. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, which led me in his faithfulness." That's the literal translation. Blessed be the Lord who led me in his faithfulness. Beloved, listen. When God leads your life, he leads you in his faithfulness. You are being moved by the faithful leading of God. And I just want to encourage us all. As God leads us, he is going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to lead us. He's going to be faithful to keep us. He's going to be faithful to provide for us. He's going to be faithful to open every door we need open. Not for one moment will we be out from under his unfailing faithfulness in our lives. Amen. Not one moment will we be out from his unfailing faithfulness. He's going to lead us faithfully in his will. And he's going to provide for us faithfully in his will. You know, when Jesus was in the desert and he took the loaves and he looked up to heaven, Jesus was saying this: "I know I'm in a barren place that has no resources, but my Father has all the resources that I need." And he was teaching his disciples something. When it comes to fulfilling God's will for your life, you'll have every resource you need. You'll never lack the resources that you need. Never. You need grace? He'll give you grace. You need strength? He'll give you strength. You need wisdom? He'll give you wisdom. You need people to come alongside you and help you? He'll provide people to come alongside and help. You need money? He'll provide the money. You need finances? He'll provide the finances. You need resources? He'll provide the resources. Everything that we need to fulfill his will, he will provide it. So I guess I'm just trying to encourage people today to rest in the will of God. You may not know where you're going. He knows where you're going. You may not know where the money's coming from. He knows where the money's coming from. You may not know where the help you're going to need is. He knows where the help you're going to need is. And everything you need to fulfill His will in your life, He will be faithful to provide. Amen. So I guess what the Lord is saying today is, rest. The things you have a need of, I'm going to be faithful to provide the things that you need. I'm just calling you to rest today. Amen. Stand with me today. Stand with me today. So I guess this would be my altar call. I know I'm in the will of God, but right now I'm just carrying some things on my heart. And I feel like the Lord is calling me to rest today. Maybe you're here and there's something that you need, and you're still waiting on it. And it has come to a place where you're consumed by it. The worry is consuming you. The anxiousness is consuming you. But the Lord is calling you today, would you just put your confidence back in me? It's in my faithfulness I lead you. And whatever you have need of, whether it's an open door, you need a door open. If it's my will, I'll open that door. If you need finances, I'll provide. If you need strength, I'll provide. And I'm just calling you to rest today. Just rest. That my faithfulness will not fail in your life when I'm leading you in my will. So, that's my altar call. Maybe for one, it may be for many. But if that's you today, would you just join me down in the altar? And let's just take these things and just give them to the Lord. If they're consuming our mind, consuming our thoughts, consuming our focus, just worries, let's just bring them to the Lord today. Listen, if you're here today with when questions, come on. I know somebody has them. There's just this one when question. God, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? The Lord is saying, you don't need to know when. Just need to know that it's in my power. It's in my control. And in my appointed time, it's going to happen. So you don't have to carry that. You're free from that. You're free from that. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it in my time. And I'm really calling you to come back to where your focus should be. What am I calling you to do today? You know, what am I wanting to do in your life, through your life today? That's where your focus should be. So let's come and just give me your when questions and just trust it's in my power. Amen. So let's just take a few minutes and let's just give it to the Lord this morning. Amen. Here's a thought that's on my mind, so I'm going to believe it's from the Lord. You know, when the Lord does provide us with the resources we need, you know, do we have a part to play? And the part we have to play is simply this: to be wise, to be responsible with the things that He provides for us. You know, Joseph knew he only had 7 years to store up before the famine came. So he was wise with what the Lord put in his hands. He was responsible with what the Lord put in his hands. And I'm just saying, when the Lord puts resources in your hands, and I'm saying it from experience, you know, it's a lesson I've learned the hard way, but I've learned it. When the Lord puts resources in your hands, don't squander it. Don't squander it. You know where the resources go. Put it where the resources need to go. Amen. When God gives you, whether it's finances or whatever, be wise with it. Be responsible with it. And the Lord says, he who's faithful in little will be trusted with much. Amen. So just be wise with your resources, and you'll always find that open heaven when you need it. Amen. Amen. God is good, right? Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time with your people. God, I thank you for this time with your people. I thank you for the worship today, God. In my heart, I could sense people were laying hold of grace and really having to press through needs in the heart. God, many people just come to church today with things on their heart. But God, I thank you, Lord, that you're the one who tells us to cast our cares upon you. And Lord, I thank you for the word today, just calling us one more time to rest in your faithfulness to provide as we walk out your will, to rest in your faithfulness to open the doors we need open, to give us the resources that we need when we need it, just to rest in that, Lord. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, as you are faithful to provide, Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, with the provision of God. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us today. We thank you that we are free to seek you, God. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall put on. These things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. I thank you for the rest that's in that scripture, God, that's in your word. I thank you for it. Lord, we give you glory and honor, and we just thank you for your goodness, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.